Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
To CAF Chats. I am Major Lee Marie Rivera, and I'm joined by Major Melissa Eisenberg. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Lynn.
I believe this is your first podcast. Can you please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Lynn. Happy to be here. My last substantive job was at Government Appellate Division, so I'm super interested in all these appellate issues. After that, I went to the graduate degree program, got an LLM over at UVA, and now I'm here teaching at the JAG School.
Well, welcome to the team and also welcome to the podcast. Today, we're here to discuss the recent decision in United States v. Secord decided on 30 July, 2025. This case raises critical questions about discovery obligations, digital evidence, and the limits of government control in courts martial. With that, let's dive into the facts.
Great.
Here, the appellant was a staff sergeant assigned to the same unit as MB, a junior enlisted soldier. Appellant communicated with MB via his cell phone to facilitate their use of cocaine. On three occasions in August 2020, MB paid Appellant via Cash App on her cell phone for cocaine that they used together at MB's off-post apartment. Appellant's Cash App account recorded the receipt of funds on the same dates and at least two other junior enlisted soldiers, specialists BA and AF, observe appellant cocaine's use as at MB's apartment in August 2020. Appellant separately tested positive for cocaine use in September 2020 and March 2021 after a command-directed urinalysis test. During the investigation, the Army Criminal Investigation Division seized Secord's cell phone pursuant to a search and seizure authorization. However, the phone was encrypted and passport protected, preventing the government from accessing its data. The government then charged appellant with multiple offenses related to the alleged use of cocaine with junior enlisted soldiers and related conduct. Now, here is where it gets really interesting, because there was an issue with the passport. Major Eisenberg, what was the issue here?
Yeah, so the government was unable to break into appellant's cell phone. Specifically, they didn't have the correct software. It was incompatible with the particular phone that he had. So despite them seizing the phone, they weren't able to actually get in and extract any of the data. So once they were in the motions portions of trial, the appellant had filed a motion under 701 alpha, specifically a discovery request in order to access the data on his phone. The government's response was that they don't have the data. And what the military judge decided when he ruled on that motion was that he granted the motion in part and denied in part.
Okay, let's break that down, because I think that is important, because it's defense argument. We're not only talking about the physical possession of the phone and having the actual phone, but also the data within the phone, right? So those are two different questions. And I think it's important for the listeners to understand that here specifically, the defense is saying you have the phone, therefore you also have the data. And I want to review it with my defense expert within the bounds of confidentiality. And I don't want the government to be privy to that extraction or to otherwise get access to the phone. What was the court's decision regarding that specific motion?
That's right, Lynn. Thank you. So specifically, the defense wanted to be able to access the phone without giving government access. And they wanted their DFE within the bounds of confidentiality as part of the defense team to be able to look at the data. So what the military judge's ruling was, in part, he granted it, saying, yes, you can have access to the data provided you invite the government to participate in the viewing of your phone. Specifically, not that the appellant had to give over his PIN code or any access to get into the phone, but that when his DFE was looking at the phone that the CID agent would also be present to view what was within the phone.
So basically, the court is saying, yes, you can do that if you're willing to also provide that information to the other side, right? To the government. And I think the government's argument is interesting because they're saying equal access to the digital evidence, in this case here, which they had none, is what the rule requires. And let's not forget Article 46 UCMJ, as well as RCM 701, talks about equal access to the evidence and the witnesses, right? So the government is saying, I don't have access to this, therefore I'm not violating the rules. All I'm required to do is to give you equal access.
That's right, Lynn. So ultimately what happened is the appellant rejected this offer and said, no, I do not want to allow government access to this information. Therefore, I will not provide my code in order for my DFE as defense, as the appellant, or for the government to access the data on the phone.
And in the end, a general court martial convicted C-Court of all charges, and the case goes up to the Army Corps of Criminal Appeals.
Right. They went to trial without the benefit, either party having the benefit of the data on the phone, and he was convicted on all charges.
And I want to note, before we talk about the CCA's ruling, the fact that that motion to compel discovery, there were no specific facts about what potential either exculpatory information was on that phone or what other information might be there. There was no evidence put forward, at least from reading the record, that reflects some of the facts or the reasoning why the defense wanted to access this phone, which will be relevant when we review the CAF's decision.
Right. So the request was specific in that it asked for specific access to the phone, but it wasn't, had no specificity with respect to what was being sought on the phone and in the data, i.e. whether it would have been exculpatory to the charges.
All right. So what was the CCA's ruling on this one?
So the CCA issued a memorandum opinion ruling that the military judge did not err when determining that the encrypted data on the appellant's phone was not subject to disclosure under RCM 701 alpha. And the court went further to say, even assuming arguendo that there was error, that the appellant was not prejudiced by such error.
I mean, here the court reasoned that the rule only applies to evidence that is in the current physical possession, custody, or control of one of the parties and capable of being immediately revealed. I mean, since the government could not access the phone's data, ACCA held that the military judge's decision was not an abuse of discretion.
That's right, Lynn. And notably, the language you used, possession, custody, or control, is the language that's used in RCM 701, and that's what the court analyzed in its holding.
The issues granted in this case include whether the encrypted data on Secret's phone was within the government's possession, custody, or control for purposes of RCM 701. Then the second issue was whether the military judge erred by ruling that C-Court could not access the data without simultaneously providing the government full access to all his personal data. And the third issue was if the military judge erred, whether the error constituted prejudicial error. How did CAF analyze this one?
Right. So, Lynn, interestingly, CAF, when they granted those three assignments of error, they actually decided on the first issue. That was the majority opinion held that the encrypted data did not fall within the government's possession, custody, or control of RCM 701. They looked at that under de novo. So they review issues of law de novo. So we don't look at what the CCA decided and we don't look at the military judge's ruling. It's not an abuse of discretion. It's just plainly what the law says.
And now that is going to be important because usually when we're reviewing issues or discovery violations under RCM 701, usually the standard that we're using to look at this type of cases is going to be an abuse of discretion. But here we're in the de novo land because we're talking about the RCM 701, and also the CAF goes on in reviewing the actual language and interpreting whether or not that will encompass, like in this case, the data.
Yes, Lynn, here the court acknowledged the disjunctive language of the rule, which applies if evidence is in the government's possession, custody, or control. So they spent a lot of time on or and control when they analyzed the rule.
Now, that's going to be important because given this is broad language that we have in our rules and that the government in this case had undisputed possession custody, and in this case, the argument is also control of the appellant's physical phone. The appellant is also arguing that under the plain language of RCM 701 alpha, the data on the cell phone must also be within the government's possession, custody, or control. What was the response from CAF about that argument?
Well, CAF actually acknowledged how strong appellant's argument was, but ultimately rejected the argument. They distinguished the physical phone from the data, and they also, in doing so, acknowledged the Fourth Amendment possessory right, that how the government secured the phone, but said the Fourth Amendment is not applicable here. It's a completely different analysis when we talk about the RCM. So we're talking about discovery under RCM 701. It's a different analysis than we are going to look at under the Fourth Amendment.
Now, we know this case is not about Fourth Amendment, or at least that's the way that CAF is looking at it. It's not a Fourth Amendment issue. Nonetheless, the appellant raised a Fourth Amendment argument. Is that right?
Yes, it is right.
And what was the specific argument that the appellant raised?
Well, the appellant relied a lot on United States versus Strong as well. And that's a case where CAF was looking at whether or not the appellant had violated Article 131 ECHO. And in United States versus Strong, the issue was whether or not when the government had possessed and seized the phone, whether they had also seized the data.
So the argument when it comes to the Fourth Amendment issue here, the appellant is arguing under Strong that the government in this case has seized the cell phone data because, unlike in Strong, the government had cut off appellant's access to data, including his ability to delete it. So basically, the government had unfettered access, possession, custody, or control of the cell phone, and the appellant never had the ability to access that data. Basically, equating the seizure with an RCM 701 possession, custody, or control standard. What does the CAF said about that specific argument?
That's right, Lynn. So the court talks a lot about the historical understanding of possession and seizure as being and the right to property as being a like the bundle of sticks analogy. And in that case, a lot of the interest in control and possession of property comes from whether or not someone exercises sufficient dominion and control and can exclude others. And in this case, the CAF, using that same analogy, looked at the fact that the government could exclude the appellant from the data, but similarly, the appellant could exclude the government from the data. So with respect to the interest in that bundle of sticks, they both had the same interest. And therefore, that wasn't going to sway the decision either way. And that this Fourth Amendment analysis is not applicable. And we have to look at, specifically what they looked at, is custody and the definition of custody.
So because we're not talking about Fourth Amendment, then we have to look at back to RCM 701 ECHO. And here the requirements are that both the government and the defense shall have equal opportunity to inspect the evidence as they're preparing their cases for trial. So the court comes back and highlights that principle of equal access and concludes that granting C-Corp unilateral access to the phone's data will violate this principle, basically saying if one party has access, the other one should get access under UCMJ Article 46. But before going any further, I think it's interesting that in this case, CAF talks about precedent from civilian courts and also the fact that we have a similar rule in Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 16, where they emphasize there's a difference between physical possession of the device and access to its digital content. And there's a string of cases that is very clear. And basically, they hold that the contents of an encrypted device, they're not in possession, custody, or control of the government for purposes of Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 16. And because our rule, RCM 701, is very similar, and we do have the same language there, they're drawing on that civilian precedent from courts and also on that federal rule to come to a conclusion and a holding here saying giving the defense access to that cell phone without giving the government access will not be consistent with the federal case law.
That's right, Lynn. So specifically, the CAF agreed with the military judges they're holding that RCM 701 Alpha 2 did not require the government to give appellant access to the data on the seized cell phone. They answered, like we had previously stated, the first granted issue in the affirmative, or rather that a de novo review of the law provides that custody would require the government to actually have access to the data. And therefore, since they didn't, they did not have to give it over. And the military judge made the right ruling and therefore did not address the second or third granted issues.
Now, it's also interesting that there's not a whole lot of discussion on the Fifth Amendment issue and whether or not there is a self-incrimination issue here, because part of the ruling of the lower court was you could provide the password to the government, right? It has to be equal access. I'm not telling you have to do it, which is slightly different from some of the federal case law where we have seen, for example, subpoenas or the judge ordering you will provide that passcode. That was not the case here. Here, the judge provided an option. You could give it, but if you do, you have to also give access to the government. And I think in the end, that's why the CAF feels very comfortable with saying this is not a Fifth Amendment issue. There's no self-incrimination concerns here. He was given an option, and in the end, he did not provide the password.
That's right, Lynn. And I also think it's notable, and there's not much discussion on this issue in the majority opinion, but there is a lot in the dissent about the scope of the search authorization. So the scope of the search authorization was only to particular messages where the communications about buying, selling, and using cocaine were discussed. But when the military judge at trial issued his ruling, he did not limit the viewing of the phone specifically to what the search authorization said. It was just that the defense DFE as well as the government CID would be present when the phone was viewed, not that it would be limited to the search authorization. But that is something that's discussed in the dissent.
That's very interesting. Let's talk about the dissent. I think here we have Judge Max disagreeing with the majority's conclusion that the encrypted data on secrets found was not within the government's possession, custody, or control under RCM 701A. He argues that the government had custody of the found data because it was safeguarding the found as evidence, even though it cannot access the data. In his view, the government's inability to unlock the found did not negate its custodial responsibility under the discovery rules. And I think part of this dissent talks a lot about that wording in RCM 701 when he's talking about possession, custody, or control. And it's just, we have to look at the totality of the circumstances when we're looking at this.
Yeah, he seems to do a much more applicable textualist argument to the wording of the rule.
Judge Max also criticized the military judge's decision to condition Secret's access to the phone data on providing the passcode, which would have given the government unrestricted access to the phone contents, which is what you were talking about earlier. So basically saying 701 is so broad that also includes the data in this specific case. And he concludes by saying the military judge's error was prejudicial because the government failed to prove that the discovery violation was harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. He also noted that the phone might have contained exculpatory evidence and the government's inability to access the data did not eliminate the possibility of prejudice. And as a result, Judge Max will have set aside the findings and sentence in this specific case. Very interesting dissent.
It is interesting dissent. It's notable, too, that because he finds for the first issue, he finds that it was within the government's possession, custody, or control, the verbiage under 701 Alpha, that he got to the second and third issues, right? So the second issue being the military judge did abuse his discretion because he authorized a viewing of the phone that was outside the scope of the search authorization. And then ultimately, he finds that there was prejudice because the discovery request was specific enough in that it went to the phone, and therefore it had to be reviewed on a abuse of discretion that required the government to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there was no prejudice to the accused.
And it also talks about that by forcing Seeker to choose between exercising his discovery rights and protecting his privacy, the military judge's decision overstepped legal boundaries. Therefore, the judge, according to him, or at least in his opinion, went too far. What are some of the takeaways for the field on this case?
Well, Lynn, I think that this ruling certainly clarifies that encrypted data on a device is not automatically within the government's possession, custody, or control, right? That language in 701, simply because the government has physical possession of the device. I think that was still unknown after United States versus Strong, but I think that it is certainly clarified now.
Now we know that, and we also know that seizure under Fourth Amendment and possession under 701 are not the same thing. And I think we were, in case we were not clear with that, now the field has that additional case law that you can cite whether you have a 701 issue and someone is arguing is more of a Fourth Amendment issue. I also want to say there are some practical implications for defense counsel, defense teams. When you're drafting your discovery request, when you're doing your motion to compel discovery, you must provide specific facts about how the requested evidence might assist your case. That was one of the things that in this case we were missing, and it would have been super helpful had we had some information about why the defense is trying to get that from the phone. General assertions of relevance might not be sufficient to get you that far. Anything else you have on this one?
No, I think that kind of covers the field.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining me today. Thank you to our listeners. Please stay tuned for another episode of CAF Chats. And do not forget to subscribe. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General's or the Department of the Army or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. The court will stand in recess until further order of the court.